Paul.
Mid-morning empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm joined on the line by Pastor Amos Maforo here. We've been speaking about all things praying using the Psalms. No one has actually really come back to tell me why the P is silent, but Asikolapa, it's going to be a very long quarter because it's all about the Psalms. Psalms. So we've spoken quite in length.
Why the P is silent?
You know, why is the P? I don't get it. Yeah, because now I'm going to get into other languages. They're going to ask me, why is this one silent on this one?
You know?
But yeah, God is beautiful, yeah. You know, when he created all of these languages. So Mfundisi, today we're speaking about, oh, restore us again. This one, mangibola nje. It's like we're not dealing with enemies on this one, but it's okay. We will behave. So, Pastor, you may take us through the study there. Oh, restore us again.
Oh, restore us again. Thank you so much, sir. We have had a beautiful week. The Lord has been speaking to us through the Psalms. We want to pray through the Psalms. Today, we are on Psalm chapter 60. Psalm chapter 60. Mm-hmm. There is a certain aspect also we want to attend to and address. Oh, restore us again. Mm-hmm. Do you have a Bible close to you there?
Yes.
Can read for us verses 1 to 5. You know, this psalm actually, as she's about to read there, this psalm is actually talking about people who would have gone through some challenges. It can be death. You could have failed at work, your matric, at university, whatever, or you're having economic challenges. You are going through a lot. Now you ask God to restore us again. Can you read for us? I think these are just 5 verses. We can go through them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Psalm 60 verses 1 to 5, it says, you have rejected us, O God, and burst forth upon us. You have been angry. Now restore us. You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is quaking. You have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that make us stagger. But for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered.
Beautiful psalm. Beautiful psalm. You know, the first verse, it says, oh God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Mm. Thou hast been displeased. Oh, turn thyself to us again. It's like yesterday, the question we were asking, does God actually cast us off? Does God actually forget us? Does God forsake his own? So this is a figure of speech that is used, you know, when you are going through a lot, whatever you are going through. At times we say certain things that do not necessarily mean that, but as a way of expressing ourselves over what we are going through. This is called a psalm of lament. Mm. When you are lamenting, when you are crying, when you are weeping, you are actually complaining about what is happening in your life. Mm. This can be physical. This can be psychological. This can be spiritual. Mm. You see, when we are at church, there is a lot that is happening amongst the saints. They are going through a lot of things. There can be spiritual challenges. When we go to bed, not that have a fool, never know easy. They're going through a lot, spiritual thing. People tell you when we go to bed, there's somebody who opens the shower, something that opens the shower, something is moving over our roof. You know, there's a lot that people are going through, spiritual challenges. They can be psychological challenges, mental challenges that do not want you to go to a mental institution that need Jesus.
Mm.
There are some physical challenges that people are going through, from abuse, you know, from certain things that can happen physically. So this is a psalm expressed by somebody who's going through such challenges. Now you say, when you're in pain, you know, when you're in pain, you can say a lot of things, you know?
Yes.
Oh God, thou hast cast us off thy, that thou hast cast us, scattered us, thou hast here, thou have been displeased. Oh, turn thyself to us again. You are going back to God. You are going through a lot. Now, all you are saying is, Lord, restore us again. Come back in my life. Take control of my life. I know you are the one who is a present help in the time of need. I feel you are so far away from me. Then you are lamenting. Also, this psalm, what we learn also today is that it's not necessarily used by people who are going through certain challenges. Even if everything is well for you, it helps you understand. You can pray this psalm. It helps you understand that we're in a great controversy. There is a lot that is happening. Things are not fair. Some are going through a lot. Just imagine the people that are there in Gaza, what is happening. Over 22,000 people have died in a space of 3 months. No, this world is just not fair. There are a lot of challenges. People are fighting their deaths, their scourges and the like. So it's a psalm of lament that we can use, that can be used by worshippers who are not necessarily in distress, but it's very beneficial to them. I don't know, so far, is there any question?
No, you can continue, Mfundisi, for now.
Number one, number one point we need to go through now is this psalm of lament. They make us more aware that suffering is part of the general human experience, that it happens both the righteous and the wicked. You see, suffering, there is this kind of belief or religion that says that if you are saved, you do not have challenges. That if you are saved, you do not get sick. How do we explain a situation that of somebody who has been a vegetarian the whole of their life, they are suffering from cancer?
Hey.
You know, you say, this is why you come, you challenge God. I've done everything you told us. I eat well, I exercise, I do this, but I'm suffering from this. Just that at times we become myopic. It's not about what you have done. You know, for you to be healthy, it's because of God's grace. So that you eat very well, that you exercise, you know, you're not contaminated. Have you ever seen those people who are by the streets who are actually fit more than you, but they eat from the beans? You know? They actually look healthier than you. But check what they eat. If you could just eat a spoon of what they eat, you will actually die. So I mean to say, this is God's mercy, you know? It's just but God's mercy. No, so we need to understand that a lot is that it happens to the righteous and the bad. You know, that's something that we all get sick, we all die in this world. This is part of the great controversy. We are in the great controversy. The Psalms assure us that God is in control and He provides strength and solutions in times of trouble, even in this psalm, even amid the trouble. Look at verse 2. Say, thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Yield the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. The Lord is the one who is in control. So throughout the week, what we need to establish and agree is that God is in control. You know, He's the one who is controlling the affairs of this world. Whatever is happening to us, whatever is happening to you, I might not understand. Your pastor might not understand. Your spouse might not understand. Your parents might not understand. Even the government might not understand whatever is happening. But what you need to know is there is one who understands. And He's seated on His throne. Ubusa yonke imimoya. Secondly, the Lament Psalms teach us compassion toward the sufferers. You know, at times, as Christians, especially Adventists, let me put it that way, we look around other people, and when we look at them, we conclude that whatever they are going through, they deserve it. you know. You know, they don't rest on a Sabbath like we do. God actually told us that we should rest, so we shouldn't be heavy. And we actually brush and paint these sins. So these are Egyptian sins. They're suffering from these sins because they have not obeyed God. True, yes, but we need to have compassion toward the sufferers. You know, when somebody is going through whatever they are going through, it might be deliberate, it might be because of their actions, you know? They haven't been obedient to their parents and now they're suffering. We need to have compassion. If there was one thing that he had, was compassion. He never asked the people. You look at John chapter 8, when he was talking to Mary Magdalene. He never started asking, Mary, what were you doing with that man? This guy, wanted, they wanted to stone you. What were you doing? Young as you are, they're sleeping around. Well, you know, he said, where are thine accusers? Mary says, they are gone. There was left a pile of stones. They were carrying stones, remember, to stone her. And the Rock of Ages was there. He was talking to the Rock of Ages. He says, now, where are thine accusers? I say, they are gone. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Not go and sin on more. He says, go and sin no more. So the thing that we have, he had compassion. The reason why he intervened in Mary's affair, he was, it's just because he had compassion. Just imagine he sees all these old men dragging this pure big girl, saying we've caught here in the act. So we need to be compassionate to the sufferers. When expressing our happiness and gratitude to God, especially in public, we must be mindful of the less fortunate. Do you know at times, have you ever listened to testimonies?
Yes.
When people testify. You know, at times, our testimonies are to prove to others that they are sinful and we are better. That God has done for us because I actually return my tithe. You know, I am faithful to him. So he had no choice just to do this for me.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we testify, especially in public, we must be mindful of the less fortunate. Do you know, before you talk about your faithful husband or how good he is, are you mindful of the thing?
So saying I should find this what is faithful just because someone ay.
When we talk, what we're saying is that when we testify whatever, you know, let us not hate one another.
Okay.
Look at you, your kids have actually passed their grade 7. If in my country grade 7 junior primary school, and we have all level, ordinary level, A level, what metric that side. If your kids have done well in matric, you know, or they've passed the university there, they've got their degrees and what. When you testify, when you talk about them, we raise them very well. You know, we're good.
Yeah.
No. What are you saying about the others? Isn't that so bad? Remember I said the bad things happen to the good and the wrong. Sure, we might have things good right now. But who doesn't know of people all around us who are suffering terribly? You know, praying such times can help us not forget those who are going through tough times. So what's the encouragement? Is you can have a psalm of lament also to God. Not because you are the one suffering, but because we are all suffering. We're in this great controversy caused by the devil. We need to may have a psalm of lament. You can pray the psalm of lament. Remember, we're being taught how to pray. Remember? I know one listener is listening to me saying, we've always prayed. We need to admit, you and I, that we do not know how to pray. We need to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, please teach us how to pray. So this week is saying, learn to pray the psalm way, okay? Whereby you communicate with me. Why? Psalms is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend, you know? The whole Bible, you read the scriptures, most of the times, it is God talking to man. But in the Psalms, it is a man expressing themselves without pretense to God, saying, telling him like it is, how it is, you know, whatever they're going through. You know, so when we express ourselves, we share whatever we're going through, we evoke in us compassion and the desire to minister to the suffering as Jesus did. Whenever Jesus would look around, the Bible says he had compassion for them. That's why when he looked at the 5,000, he had compassion to them. That's why he could provide food. Haven't you gone to meeting whereby we call people to a meeting and we address them? But when it's time to lunch, we go and we hide there, or we go to the high table, we are given 100% juices because we are the facilitator. I will just do it. I will take care. Jesus would share whatever was there. There were 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread he shared with everyone. I hope I'm making sense.
Yes,
you know, so whatever we do, let's have compassion. Let's take care of, let's try by all means to just share whatever is available with everyone around us. There is this quotation I loved from Ellen G. White in the book Welfare Ministry, page 24 to 25. It's there at the bottom. I enjoy it when you read. Okay, maybe let me read it.
Read it. I don't have it.
You don't have it here. Okay. It's there in our quarterly anyway. It's at the bottom there. Okay, I'll read. This world is a vast lazar house, but Christ came to heal the sick, to proclaim deliverance to the captives of Satan. He was in himself health and strength. He imparted his life to the sick, the afflicted, those possessed of demons. He turned away none who came to receive his healing power. He knew that those who petitioned him for help yet brought diseases upon themselves. Yet he did not refuse to heal them. And when virtue from Christ centered into these poor souls, they were convicted of sin, and many were healed of their spiritual diseases as well as of their physical maladies. The gospel still possesses the same power, and why should we not today witness the same results? That's a Welfare Ministry, page 24 and 25. Now, you see, Christ did not condemn them. The Bible, where he was, which was, you know, these diseases came out of their own volition. They were sleeping around. This is why they have sexually transmitted infections. But he did not start to condemn them the way we would do. Yeah, stop sleeping around. Don't do this. No, you attend to what has happened, you know. Which I know it's you are suffering from this. You would heal. He had compassion. We are being encouraged, friends, to love one another. Asifundeni ukuthanda umuntu. Umuntu gathandwe, umuntu simzwisise, umuntu simzwele, you know. You know, there are people in our lives. I don't know, sir. Do you know of people who need your ministering? Do you know it's not always about prayer?
True.
Not like everyone wants prayer.
No.
Not like the solution. Prayer, you know, we magnify. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the answer. No. When you go to a funeral, you think of
the prayer.
Is, but you need, people don't eat prayer. People don't eat prayer. Before you pray, you first give me bread. And I eat. Just imagine abantu bafelwe, you are going to the bereaved, and you just go there empty handed. And you say, may God be with you, you know, may He bless you. No, at least carry some cabbages, whatever you can, that you can have relish, whatever you can afford, you know.
Yeah.
Then you say, no, may God intervene. Whatever the, we're being taught to have compassion. You know, at times, most of us, we look around and we think everything, want to pray. There are certain things, actually, we also need counseling. You know, we need to counsel somebody. Somebody's having a challenge, a marital challenge. It's not always about prayer. We pray and we talk about it. This is what we are saying. You know, there's a question. Whom do you know right now who needs not only your prayers, but your ministering touch as well? You know, that people who need us to minister to them. So I've been called as a family. You know, when you go to church on Sabbath, day after tomorrow, or on Sunday, whenever you go to church, look around, my friends. Look around at the people who need you to minister to them. Then the church will be relevant. People are leaving church. You know why? Because no one cares.
Yes.
People are out there into the so-called, in courts, spirit-filled churches, the Pentecostal churches, the so-called. You know why they are going there? People show love. They express themselves. You know, they care. They listen to you. Another point. Even when we pray, do you know, Zah? Let me talk about the Adventists. A research was done to just check how much time, isn't we on the 10 days of prayer, which
yes,
we have started?
Yes.
To just check how much time is spent in prayer throughout the day on a Sabbath. Do you know, I'll use the way we do it this side. You know, you go to church there, you have the first thing, you have your silent prayer. You know how it is for the Sabbath school?
Mm-hmm.
The silent prayer. somebody was timing. He checked how much minutes were spent on the silent prayer. They prayed for the Sabbath school. They prayed in Galani, the Vala, for the lesson, for the divine service, closure, afternoon lesson, up to Vespers. Do you know what was the conclusion?
Mm.
When they concluded at the end of the day,
mm.
the whole Sabbath day, do you know how much time had been spent on prayer?
Mm-hmm.
12 minutes.
12?
Out of the 24 hours, yes,
shocking.
Of the Sabbath hours. Only 12 minutes was spent on prayer.
Mm.
People pray. Mm. Just check it even at church there. That you actually you don't even pray, sir.
Mm.
They are actually praying for you. You know,
yes.
They say let's close our eyes and. But you know, when you are at church, what you need, what is very important, is also we need to teach our people. When they say let's close our eyes and pray, if there is one person praying, you also be praying silently, be also communicating. Sorry, be also communicating. Okay.
Mm.
We're also communicating also with God. We need to spend more time in prayer. It says now, we need more prayer, you know, than preaching, you know?
Yeah.
We need to preach less and pray more.
Mm,
yes.
Mm.
So let's cultivate that spirit. Then we'll relate more. We pray, we also relate with people. Jesus spent most of his time on the mountain praying, and with the people, ministering to people. You go, you pray, you come to minister. Lastly, he who prays and does nothing will soon cease to pray. That steps to Christ.
Yes.
Hope you can pray. Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mfundisi, so since we have, you know, the topic, this prayer on lamentation. So basically it's okay to, when you're praying, you're like, hey, God, Gooby, for you to go there and lament. Oh. It's okay.
Actually, more than that, you need to say it like it is.
Okay.
Zaa, you have a friend, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Umngane wakho. And the prayer is the opening of the heart,
yes.
as to God, as to a friend.
Mm.
How do you talk to your friend? Mm. Isn't you actually open your heart to your friend and tell them that inner thoughts, you know, and whatever you are going through, your frustrations, you tell them. When you are down, you tell the friend. If things are not moving well, when you are angry, actually tell the friend. So what are we saying? We are saying when you are, it's a time to lament. When you are happy, also we tell him, isn't it?
Mm.
Tell it to Jesus, isn't it? So it's actually proper. That's praying. The problem we have, your kumbula the other day, I said, it's an Adventist prayer, you know. People are superficial. They're not expressing themselves. When you pray, open your heart to God as to your friend. Tell him, Lord, things are not moving. I'm actually down. Address my situation. Why am I feeling that you are so far from me? It needs to be personal, you know.
Yeah.
It needs to be, you know, like a friend. He is our friend. He's our big brother. He's our God. Is a relational God. That's what we want to encourage each other. So when you go to the Psalms, these petitions, they will actually express themselves. You remember David was saying, no, Lord, I've done this evil, you know, creating me a new heart. I have a problem with this heart. You know, he will tell God. Now, today is actually saying, why have you, you know, why are you so far from me, oh Lord? I need you close. I feel you are far from me. Why have you forsaken me? So open your heart. Don't pretend. God desires us to be clear with him. Then when he has done that, at the conclusion of it all, it's all about restoration.
Mm.
Restore us again. That thy beloved, verse 5, may be delivered safe with thy right hand and enemies. The God we worship is a God who restores, a God who delivers.
Mm.
He's a God of second chances. Not only second chances, third, fourth, seventh chances. He's there to restore us again to our original position, if not a better position. Remember, it's from Eden to Eden.
Mm. Mfundis, thank you so much for this lesson. Tomorrow we're going to be wrapping it up with further thoughts and your thoughts as well. Please prepare them and your thoughts as well and the further thoughts that we're getting from the study itself. But for today, we're going to end it there. So thank you so much, Mfundiswami, for coming through and speaking to us.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Can you have a word of prayer?
Yes, please.
Our Father, what in heaven, thank you so much for the beautiful time we have had. We pray for our moderator. we also pray for ourselves, teach us to pray, or restore us again. Today's lesson as we're going to meditate upon is, or we pray that you make us understand, clarify things for us. Let us have an improved prayer life. When all has been said and done, when you come to take your children, well, may we be part and parcel of that crew. This is our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mfu.
Good day.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.